FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Terry Lutz. It's 626-20. Well, starting out, we're going to have Rob Kirby on the show with us. But right now, I just want to play you something. So we want you to hear this. So listen up. I think it's important. This is one Gen Zer dares to speak out. I'm done with your BS.
If I say all lives matter, I'm a racist. If I stand for my flag, I have to apologize for it. I'm not allowed to go to church, but I can burn churches to the ground. I'm not allowed to open my own business, but I can go loot and destroy other people's businesses. If I wear a badge, have a gun, and I'm dressed in blue, I'm a racist pig. But if I walk around destroying my city with bricks and masks, I'm considered a peaceful protester. I'm not allowed to peacefully protest the lockdown at my capital, but I can go destroy and graffiti my capital. I'm not allowed to go to the park to play t-ball with my family, but I can destroy the park. I'm not allowed to protect our historical monuments and history, but I can go tear them down and have them land on top of people. I'm not allowed to have an opinion on racial matters because I'm white, but if I don't have an opinion on it, I'm the reason why people are oppressed. I can go riot in the streets with the BLM, but if I go to a Trump rally, COVID-19 magically appears. Does anyone else not see the hypocrisy in all of this? I am done with your bullshit.
All right. So, Rob, I'm glad to have you back on the show. And I'm really happy that you clued me into that. Of course, if you want to find Rob, it's KirbyAnalytics.com. So what the heck is going on in this country here, Rob?
Well, what's going on in the country, Kerry, is emblematic of really what's going on in our financial world. Everything's upside down, and nothing as it's presented to us or the official narratives don't gel with what's being observed on the ground. Mm-hmm. And we have dislocations in our markets. And, we're seeing acute shortages in some areas, and we're seeing the pricing of some things that are in very short supply react as the way we would expect them to, as in they go up in price when there are severe shortages. And other things that are very vital to people's financial well-being, when they're in very short supply, the prices don't move. So that's kind of sort of where we're at. And in that vein, I could cite you a couple of very pertinent examples if you'd like me to share them with you.
Yeah, please. You're our expert here. We've been following you, and you've been on the show for years. So please let us know your thoughts here.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna contrast two physical markets against each other, both of which are experiencing dramatic shortages. I would even go as far to say historic shortages. The first one I'm going to cite is the market for PPE, which is personal protective equipment. And I have somebody who's very close to me who is in charge of procurement of PPE, specifically disposable gowns and disposable goggles for between 300 and 500 medical doctors who see patients on a daily basis. So procuring PPE for between 300 and 500 doctors obviously means you'd be purchasing these goods in bulk. And because it would be a requirement that fresh materials be worn between each patient that's seen. So in the case of disposable gowns, I was informed this past weekend that a disposable gown that in January was selling for 50 cents in bulk are now selling for $50 each. So the market for disposable gowns has gone up 100 times in price. The price for disposable goggles was $1 in January, and now they are $30 each. So that price has gone up 30 times. And now I want to contrast, you know, the acute shortage in the PPE market to the acute shortage that has developed recently in the silver market. Physical silver, which means not a futures contract, but actual bars and coins and, you know, metal that you can actually hold in your hand. I happen to be very well acquainted with a dealer of precious metal in Canada, and he may very well be the biggest dealer in Canada. And if he isn't the biggest dealer, he's certainly in the top two or three. And this person has a retail outlet where they sell physical metal. And they also have a wholesale division where they procure larger amounts and typically bigger unit sizes. Like instead of dealing in coins, they deal in larger bars, kilos, 100-ounce, 1,000-ounce silver bars. Well, what this individual was doing, because there's been such a shortage of retail product, this individual was purchasing or was in a habit of purchasing 1,000-ounce silver bars and melting them down and recasting the silver in 10-ounce and 100-ounce bars, which are more suitable for the retail trade. So I was speaking with this individual on the phone a week ago, and they told me that they had phoned their traditional suppliers of 1,000-ounce silver bars the week before. So this is 2 weeks ago when this individual tried to procure 10 1,000-ounce silver bars and could not find them anywhere. And he called all the different outlets that he would normally procure them from. So the point to make here, Carrie, is that one of the biggest dealers in the country cannot access 10 1,000-ounce silver bars from anyone. And this is somebody with 30 years in the trade.
He's a dealer. Yeah.
A major dealer of metal.
That's insane.
And cannot access 10,000 ounces of silver. So now let's now contrast the silver market to the PPE market, and let's try to figure out why the price of PPE goes up 30 or 100 times in 4 or 5 months. But silver, when it encounters the same kind of unavailability, the price of silver remains mired at $17. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the difference between the two markets is that silver has a derivatives complex overarching the supply. So we have COMEX futures and we have LBMA futures for silver, where unlimited amounts of promises of silver are sold into the marketplace, distorting the price discovery mechanism of what should be a rising price for silver. And when one stops and thinks about this, Carrie, for silver to be suppressed the way it's being suppressed in light of the physical shortages that have developed, this can only be allowed to happen if we have complicity of the people who regulate. You see, there's groups that oversee the silver market. And, you know, like one of the groups is like the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission in America.
They're very useful. They're totally useless.
And the SEC probably has a hand in making sure that markets operate efficiently and fairly as well.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say they categorically are not reflecting the shortage, physical shortage of metal, and the pricing mechanism that we know as COMEX and LBMA are without a doubt defrauding people, which means that this is a conspiracy, factually, And for this to occur, this could only occur with the complicity of government and regulators. And this is an agenda which is not publicly declared, and it's an agenda to suppress the price of metal, to keep people from demanding, hopefully on their part, demanding more physical metal, because these same individuals are debasing and destroying the value of the money that they issue, namely fiat dollars. So I want to point this out and emphasize that we now basically have smoking gun proof. We have the comparisons. There is an agenda to suppress and keep the price of physical precious metal from rising. And this is being done through the ungainly practice of suppression in futures markets of the price that's advertised through the mainstream financial press. And so far as I'm concerned, this constitutes crimes against humanity. People are being punished for doing, for acting with probity, for acting responsibly and trying to protect the purchasing power of what they've worked for. And this to me would mean that people in the U.S. Treasury, U.S. financial regulators, U.S. central bankers, and it extends to the same in London, England.
They're all in on
these
it, right?
People all deserve, Kerry, to have their behinds dragged in front of the World Court in The Hague, and they need to be charged with crimes against humanity.
Well, that sounds
this
good to
brutal.
Me. Yeah, well, you know, the only the hallmark of freedom is free markets. When you no longer have free markets, then you no longer have freedom. And everything that we're seeing here is just a reflection of that. Let's go to the pandemic here, the scamdemic. And I knew from the get-go that we weren't getting the straight story here, that there was no need to quarantine well people to protect the sick. You quarantine the sick people and the vulnerable people. The reaction to it has made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, one theory, and I've heard Robert Kiyosaki say it, is when the repo system blew up in September, there was something desperately wrong, and this pandemic is cover for a reset of the system. Do you agree with that?
I agree with it completely, and I'll take it a step further. I think that the pandemic was dropped on humanity for the simple reason that our fiat money system is critically broken, and the money that's being printed today was going to be printed whether we had a pandemic or not.
Yeah.
The pandemic was dropped on humanity as the justification for printing. Mm-hmm. If you print $6 trillion and you don't have a good reason for doing it, it won't be tolerated by the population. But you introduce a pandemic and you shutter the economy and you have people sitting at home and they need money to buy food, and suddenly the creation of $6 trillion extra dollars is more than justified and welcomed by the population.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how that works? And and this is a good thing somehow. All of these programs, everything the government's doing is a good thing. It's for our own benefit. And it just seems to me that that we've been totally scammed here. And I don't know where it's going to stop, because with the amount of currency units that they're printing up here, Rob. How much longer can this scam go on?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to trilogymetals.com. That's trilogymetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, it seems to me, as being illustrated by the rise in price in PPE, and the rise in price in PPE has been in response to a disruption in the supply chain. Carrie, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing that there are disruptions in the supply chain of food. Meat processing facilities have been closed on a more or less ad hoc basis at this point, but there's been numerous shutdowns at different points over the last few months. And my question is, what are we going to do going forward if there's shortages of food? And if there are shortages of, let's say, pharmaceuticals, because a lot of our pharmaceuticals come from China and that supply chain has been disrupted. I mean, what are we going to do if the price of penicillin goes up 50 or 100 times, Carrie?
Yeah, good question.
What if a can of condensed soup costs 50 or 100 times what it currently does?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't view this escalation in prices in PPE as being an isolated incident. There are other goods in our in the grand scheme of things, in our overall supply chain, that are whose supply have been equally infringed. So I look for a takeoff in prices coming to a store near you very soon. And we'll see how it plays out. But I would anticipate that this was going to spread. And I would anticipate, Carrie, that the amount of money the Federal Reserve has printed this year will be dwarfed by the amount of money that will need to be printed next year, because I do believe we're on a vertical growth curve for money. And if they don't continue printing at a vertical pace, the whole system will implode.
Yeah, I think you are probably correct in that assessment here. So I guess you should try to buy gold and silver if you can find it.
And some storable foods, not a bad idea either.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've kind of been planning for this since the Great Recession, since the last financial blow up. So nothing that you're telling me is surprising to me by any stretch of the imagination. But the thing that's surprising here, really, Rob, is that there are people who actually will be surprised by this.
I'm with you on that. And that's because we have a mainstream media that does not report the news.
Yeah.
And that's why people will be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you're not into the quantity theory of money and all of that, you got to think that printing up trillions of currency units, you know, within a very short period of time is going to have some kind of effect, don't you?
I mean, one would think so.
Yeah, one would, right? I mean, look, I don't pretend I was surprised that it didn't cause inflation before in terms of consumer prices going up, of course. But it made sense when you looked at the mechanism they used with the excess funds on deposit with the Fed. They sterilized the money. But now the money's getting going out directly. You know, it's helicopter money. It's going out directly.
You know what, Barry, what I find amazing is that a year ago or 2 years ago, we were talking about the inevitability of a hyperinflation at some point in time, but it was always at a distant point in time or time in the future. Well, Kerry, now it's here.
The future is here.
Now it's here.
The future is now.
Now it's here. Now it's here. And, you know, and people are trying to deal with it right now. And what's even scarier, most of the public is completely oblivious that this is even occurring right now in the here and now.
Yeah. Well,
and that's disgusting.
You know what? I started for my kids' birthdays, anniversaries, grandchild birthday, Christmas. I just started giving them out silver rounds and just said, make sure you hold on to this. You know, it might come in very handy at some point, but do not lose these, and you know, just keep them handy. And
Kerry, I've been doing the same thing for 20 years.
Yeah. Well, you got me beat there, but you know, it just makes total sense. And at some point, the system is just not going to be able to sustain itself. You know, I've created Lutz's first law of economics, which is that an unsustainable trend will continue on indefinitely until. Or I should say a trend will continue on indefinitely. An economic trend will continue on indefinitely until it becomes unsustainable at some point in the future, which is often unknowable. And here we are, man. You know, the whole thing is unsustainable because what are they going to do next time? $200 trillion? A quadrillion dollars? What do they do? So going back to the repo meltdown that we had in September, that was a major tip-off to anybody who was watching that something was desperately wrong and stuff was going to start happening. Do you think a couple of banks or hedge funds or both failed at that point, and that's why we had that repo meltdown?
I'm going to rephrase what you just said into maybe a slightly different question. And my question is, do you not think that we have had banks that have been acting as their ongoing healthy concerns when in fact they have been insolvent? And I like to refer to them as the walking dead.
Zombie banks. Yeah, for sure.
We have had zombie banks in existence in our marketplace now since the last financial crisis in 2008-09.
Yes.
That's my contention. And yes, they have been the walking wounded or the zombie banks for a very, very long time. But what is one to expect, Kerry, when you have the institutions in America that I like to refer to as the Magnificent Five? Namely, that would be Bank of America, Citibank, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley, who in the last 10 years have all sported derivatives books over $50 trillion in notional at one time or the other. And there's some of them have dropped the amount of notional outstanding, I believe, down to $40 trillion, but some of them are still over $50. Namely JP Morgan and Bank of America, I believe, and Goldman Sachs is right up there too. But the whole point is, if you think about even if you dismiss the notion just for a second that this that we're talking about notional amounts, but you know, notional amounts represent bets when you're talking derivatives. If you make $50 trillion worth of bets, if you're 1% wrong on a bet of $50
trillion, that's a lot of money.
Like 1% of $50 trillion is $500 billion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my question to you, is there a bank in America that has a $500 billion market capitalization? Perhaps JP Morgan might be, But let's just say Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley certainly don't have market capitalizations that large. So if they're 1% wrong on a $50 trillion bet, yeah, their capital's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, to be 1% wrong on a bet of $50 trillion, frankly, as a mere commoner who has a lifetime experience in brokerage of derivatives, you know, I am shocked that not one bank has ever seemingly have gotten it wrong by 1%.
Isn't that amazing?
In the real world, when people make bets, people are wrong, apparently, sometimes.
That's why.
Let's go to Vegas. We should go to Vegas. Just, you know, you and I, Carrie, and we should see if we can run $50 trillion worth of bets in Vegas and never be wrong.
Hey, that's why bookies have bookies, because even though the advantage is with them,
but bookies get it wrong sometimes.
Exactly.
Too. Sometimes bookies lose.
Yes.
Sometimes they do. It's not very often, but sometimes they do. But we have five institutions that make the biggest bets in the world, and they've never got it wrong once.
Yeah.
Or so we'd be led to believe.
Well, I guess they got some pretty smart people working for them there, huh?
I guess they do.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, I'm just trying to figure out J.P. Morgan's equity. But it's probably a couple hundred billion, is what I would assume. Because when I looked at it 10 years ago, it was around 120 billion. And that was after they'd been recapitalized. $234 billion. That's the common stockholders' equity. And then there's another $26 billion in preferred stock, which is technically a liability, but they treat it as equity. Right, so that's not a lot there.
And so let's just hope they don't get it wrong on that $50 trillion book. Let's hope they don't get it wrong by 1%.
Even if they're 0.5% off, they have no net worth. There's no way that you can be in derivatives. And
but that's okay. We know that J.P. Morgan never loses bets. It's impossible.
Yeah,
it can't happen, can it?
No, can't happen.
But there you go. And you know what? And we can have acute physical shortages in silver, Carrie, and the price never goes up. But if we have an acute shortage of disposable gowns, the price goes up 100 times.
Yeah.
And if we have an acute shortage, physical shortage of disposable goggles, the price goes up 30 times.
Uh-huh.
But in silver, it appears that the more short there is a physical silver, the price actually goes lower in silver.
Right. Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah. Funny how that works, isn't it? Anyway.
Interesting. All right.
I'm going to go round up my acorns.
All right. Well, you've given us a lot.
They're playing in the backyard right now.
You've given us a lot to chew over here, Rob. And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think of what Rob is saying? How much longer do you think the system is going to work? Why don't you email us, kl@carrylutz.com, kl@carrylutz.com. Leave a comment on the website or on the YouTube channel, and we'll answer it. Rob, it's always great to have you on. And you find Rob's work over at KirbyAnalytics.com. And we will talk to you soon. But it's pretty amazing what's happening now and that there's no way out of it.
Hear, hear. Take care. Be well.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.